Hey, you guys, want to jump on here before the official podcast starts and kind of do a disclaimer on the audio this week. I must say I'm a one-woman show and I'm technologically deficient. That's why I love Anchor, because they do most of it for you. That was a free advertisement, by the way. But anyway, truthfully, today's episode was exceptionally difficult with connection and audio. But we got the best recording we could, and the content was just too important, so I just went with it. Thanks, you guys, for giving me grace on that. You're going to enjoy it. So let's get rolling. You guys, welcome back to another episode of Have You Not Heard? I am Angel H. Davis, your host, and today we are finishing out our series on spiritual fitness. We have Tom and Joanne Doyle with us of Uncharted Ministry and also Not Forgotten, which is an umbrella ministry under Uncharted. They are accomplished authors. They just authored a new book together. And we're going to talk about that. But they also have been doing ministry over in the Middle East and Israel for the past 20 years. And they have watched God work and seen miraculous things happen. And there is no one that I know personally better to inspire our faith and to talk about spiritual fitness and finishing our race strong than Tom and Joanne. So without further ado, let me introduce you to them. So Tom and Joanne, thanks so much for being with us again today. Thanks for taking your time.
It's an honor to be with you, Angel.
It sure is. We always love talking with you.
Yes, and vice versa. And last time, you know, we didn't really get into your ministry, Uncharted and Not Forgotten. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, you know, we've been, first part of our life together. I pastored for 20 years. Then God called us into missions. We were with a great organization. But in 2017, we wanted to launch Uncharted because we wanted to reach the unreached and stand with the persecuted. And so we were thrilled to do that. We have a great team, of which I might add, you are a part of, Angel.
Such a privilege.
And we are so thankful for what God's doing around the world and the amazing initiatives that he's opened up.
That's right. And then Uncharted, of course, is the parent ministry or the overarching ministry, and Not Forgotten is our women's division of Uncharted. And so we have been so blessed to work with both Jewish women and Muslim women, probably more Muslim women, but also the American woman. And Angel, you are such a powerful part of that. So you know how special it is to see women set free, don't you?
Yes, I do. It is, just a high privilege, really. And we always say we get more out of it than I think the people we serve, for sure. You know, it's interesting, kind of poignant that we're talking on International Women's Day today. We're recording this. And you guys just wrote a book together, your first book together. And it's called Women Who Risk, and I love the subtitle, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. So please tell us some about that book.
Well, you know, we really had an aha moment, and this probably isn't a surprise to you, Angel, but really, wherever we go into the nations, it's the women are leading the way and mm-hmm. seem to be most responsive to Christ. They look out for their family. They look out for their husbands. And so Joanne just said a zinger one day, and I went, oh my gosh. And she said, well, you know, wherever we go, women are the spiritual gatekeepers of their families. If you reach the woman, you reach the family. And she said, you know, when it comes to reaching Muslims, reach a Muslim woman, reach the Muslim world. Mm-hmm. And it just was one of those crystallizing moments that comes together from the Holy Spirit where I said, Joanne, that is exactly right. We need to write a book on this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the fun thing is, Angel, as you know, Tom is an Irish storyteller. He tells the best stories. And of course, God writes the best stories. So when you put those two together, God's stories and Tom telling them, it's like a win-win combination. So Tom has written several books, all true stories of Muslims coming to faith in Jesus, either through dreams and visions or persecution or whatever. But this is the first book that we actually did together. And of course, the stories all focus on women. So we had so much fun, not only meeting these women, you know, seeing how they risked daily living for Jesus, but then getting to tell their stories so that we give voice to these women who live in places where they wouldn't have the freedom to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it is a captivating book. I mean, Tom, I loved your books, but I have to say there's something about this book that I just couldn't put down. It was really, really just captivating. Yeah. And I think for such a time as this to hear women, the courage and rising up and standing for faith. And I really think as an American believer, we have so much to gain from listening to these stories and hearing these stories to help us get motivated, because as we go into what appears like more persecution, not like they have, not even close, but here in the United States for our Christian beliefs.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And you know what? I would just kind of like to add this caveat, Angel, okay? True confession here. It was a little bit humbling because this, I think, is 9th or 10th book. This is the first one Joanne really joined together. We co-authored. And I kept getting it back from the editor. And mostly the red marks were on the sections that I wrote. I noticed that right off the bat. I'd see several pages Joanne did, not a mark, you know.
That is so funny. So funny. That's, well, it is awesome. And you guys are such a great team together. And so to have both of your voices, I think, is part of why it's just so rich. Mm. But again, you bring life to these women's stories. And, you know, I'm on your team and I get inspired all the time. But, and I've heard a lot of these stories, but it was like I was reading it for the first time and got inspired afresh in reading them. So, and also I think, you know, a lot of Christians here wonder why are we wanting to share the love of Jesus with Muslims? You know, why don't we just leave them alone? You know, let them believe what they believe. And I think the stories really talk about the why.
Mm-hmm. So true. And, you know, one of the things we like to tell people, Angel, is remember when you see a veiled woman, and of course, we always mention the woman because they're easier to spot than a Muslim man just because of their hijabs, that Muslims are not the problem. Islam is the problem. And these sweet Muslim people are desperately looking for truth. And as followers of Jesus, we are the only ones with the answers. We are the only one with the truth from God's word. So don't be afraid. Reach out with the love of Christ.
Angel, today I was just in the scriptures and it's Luke 24. It's the end of the Gospel of Luke. And just the faithfulness of the women. You know, I was laughing because some people today would say, well, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The disciples stole the body. The disciples were hiding. They were nowhere near. And it was women, faithful women, that went to the tomb. They were at the cross. They were at the burial, anointing Jesus' body. And they were there and the first ones to understand that he had busted through the gates of hell, defeated death and sin, and had risen from the dead. And I thought, wow, once again, it's the faithful women that get the message. And you know what, Angel? They're the first evangelists. Right. They went and told the disciples. Right. They had to witness to them. And those were the leaders. And I think, wow, that is such a rule of thumb today with women. They tend to be more responsive to spiritual things. They think in terms of their family and their husband, and they are the best gospel spreaders there are.
I love that. And I'm thinking about the connection, you know, with psychology of just how women tend to be more natural with relationships. So that fits in, doesn't it, with that whole spiritual part also. I love that.
You know, it does. And I think that women, we've been given a little bit more of the emotional side of being God's image bearers. Not that men don't have emotions, but we tend to be the ones that are a little bit more nurturing, a little bit more tenderhearted. And it's that part of God's character that is reflected in us as women. So I think that is one of the reasons that we are the ones that tend to be the spiritual influencers. In fact, if we would, you know, kind of go around the circle here, we probably could each name a woman that influenced us spiritually.
Wow, that's cool. And it makes me think of that scripture of it's this kindness that leads to repentance. Mm-hmm, and that's that sweet heart, that gentle spirit. That's awesome. And but yet, in the other flip side is they're really strong. So a lot of people think, you know, gentleness and kindness is not strength, but it is strength. And these women, we've been talking about spiritual fitness in this series, you guys are our closer, by the way. You're closing it up. Yep. So these are some spiritually fit women. I'm telling you, very inspiring, just staying true to the word. And I think one of the things that makes them so spiritually fit, but I would love to hear y'all's reflection and just personally how you stay spiritually fit, but it's you know, the love relationship that they find with Christ, and then that spurs on the rest.
Absolutely. For these women, that most of them have never experienced unconditional love. Remember, most Muslim women that, you know, live in the Middle East, Central Asia, they live in an honor shame culture, and women are considered less than. Their place is back in the background. I always say back in the shadows. And so until they have meet Jesus, whether it's in a dream, whether it's in a vision, whether through it's another believer that introduces them to Christ, for the first time, they taste unconditional love. And when they have that love, oh my gosh, they pursue it with everything in them. And then it gives them this holy boldness that is birthed in them. And I think Tom wants to say something. We can get back to that holy boldness in a minute.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking about Dina. We wrote this, and Angel, one of the fun things in writing this book was picking the titles for things. So for chapters. So this one's from The Worst Marriage in Syria. And Dina said to us point blank as we met her, just this boldness, holy boldness, like Joanne just said. She said, well, we knew, my husband and I, Mohammed and I, when we committed our lives to Christ, we would die for him. The only question was, is it today or in 10 years or 20? So therefore, we live every day like it's our last, because we know we have an appointment with death for Jesus. And I thought, okay, now that is heavenly thinking. That is keeping your eyes, like Paul says in Colossians 3, your heart on things above, your mind on things above. Always she was dialed into that. And so therefore she could go into those refugee camps where it is teeming with terrorists and be leading a group of women together in a prayer to commit their lives to Jesus. And her husband is texting her two words, get out. Get out. He saw him drive up. He's outside the camp. He see who just arrived. And she finishes the prayer calmly. They pray to Christ, and she slips between the tents and walks out and walks very casually to the car, and they drive off together.
Wow. Wow.
Living a life of risk.
Stuff that movies are made out of, but this is real life, real life stories. That's amazing. Amazing. So, you know, I am thinking about, again, our Western church, our American church, and I just heard something today that I thought was really relevant to what we're talking about. And they said a lot of people are leaving faith because the American church has not talked about suffering. Mm. The suffering that Christ promises, right? The scriptures promise if we follow him. And that's what these women know, and the people in the Middle East, especially when they have chosen Christianity over their Muslim faith. So can you talk about that a little bit and how that works into our spiritual fitness, how being willing to risk, knowing that we're going to have suffering, helps us in that spiritual fitness?
Right. Well, one thing I will say is whenever we're suffering, we're going to press into something. You know, if we're ill, often it's like we're pressing into the knowledge we can glean from our doctors and whatever they recommend for us, whatever, you know, form of healing. Is it medication? Is it some treatment? So whenever we're really desperate, we're going to find something to cling to. So these women have found Jesus and their lives have been utterly transformed, just as our lives have been transformed. So when I come up against something scary, you know, persecution, I want to cling to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I want to cling to the cross. And that's what these women do is, and you know, you have to think about it this way too, for their entire lives, these in their Muslim faith, these women have, some of them been willing to die for what they now have discovered is a false cause. Jesus, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Man, they are willing to die for anything, or willing to die for him, because they understand what that unconditional love is like. Mm-hmm. But I guess, Angel, going back to what I started to say a few minutes ago, and that's this holy boldness. Mm-hmm. So God bursts in these women in their, you know, growing walk with Jesus, as they're reading the word and understanding the truth of God's scripture, as they're learning his, you know, to recognize his still quiet voice, God develops in them, fits, you know, spiritually, as they, their muscles get stronger, so to speak, this holy boldness. Mm-hmm. And this holy boldness is different than the boldness we see in the world. The holy boldness is cloaked in the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The fruit of the Spirit, we know what that is, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of that. So this boldness is cloaked in that. They go out with strength, but it's this winsomeness and this love that draws other people to them. And instead of pushing people away, again, it draws them in. So if we compare this holy boldness with just plain old regular boldness that we often see in the world, that regular boldness can be harsh. Sometimes it's self-seeking. Sometimes it's clothed in arrogance or pride. Mm-hmm. And so we're more repelled, you know, by that type of boldness. So then these women come in with their winsome ways of declaring who Christ is in the face of persecution, mind you. During those scariest moments, the Holy Spirit comes upon them in freshness. They stand up for what they believe in a way that often draws people to them instead of repelling them. And so often that persecution flees and these women are set free to continue sharing the boldness, as Tom just shared with Dina. She was able to get the whole gospel out in the face of being possibly caught and then executed.
Amazing. Just amazing. Well, I'm going to make sure I share the link and let people know how to get the book. It is a great, great resource and read. So thank you guys for pouring into that. Mm-hmm. And shifting just a little bit, let's get a little more personal as far as how do you guys, you're in the front line of ministries doing so much. You guys do more than most people put together all their lives in one day. But how do you guys stay spiritually fit personally?
Thank you. Well, you know what, Angel, we love reading the word together. We share each day from our devotions what we're learning. We talk about Jesus during the day. We pray the Lord's Prayer before we go to sleep at night. We hold hands and pray the Lord's Prayer. And there's so many things that happen spiritually when we're seeking Jesus that just bring us together in a better, stronger marriage. And so I think that's what we try to do. And then, of course, we are encouraged daily by stories of believers on the front lines. You know, gosh, 8 years ago, I wrote Dreams and Visions, is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World. And we get stories weekly, for sure, sometimes daily, of people telling these amazing faith journeys. And I think it just reinforces the principle we see in Scripture. What God calls you to, he equips you for. Mm-hmm. And so I think people in America say, I couldn't be that fearless. And the answer is this, you could, because the same Holy Spirit that fills them fills you.
That's right.
It's just a matter of your focus. It's a matter of where you live. And it's a matter of what you're doing with your life. So God, what has God called us to? He has called us to rescue this generation, this evil generation that needs Jesus. And so a few minutes ago, you mentioned something about believers here in America. And some are defecting from the faith. Some are tired of church. I think you're right on. The body of Christ was meant to be challenged.
That's right.
And it is not about us. If if you're in a church and what you're getting in sermons is just about you, it's all about you. And the worship is all about you and what God's doing in your life. That's a great thing that God pursues us and loves us. It's tremendous. But living a life as a believer is much more than that. We're not just limping along to the next trial and Jesus is going to make us get through it somehow. We're here for a purpose. And I think believers, when they're not challenged to be the body of Christ, they get bored and lose interest. They really do. And I think it's to the point of, someone just told me this the other day. They went to a messianic church for the very first time, Angel, and it blew their mind. So these are Jewish believers. It was my cousin, Dan, and his wife, Teresa. They went. They were blown away, and they said, we have never had such worship in our life, such teaching. And I said, here's one of the things that I see in these churches, or MBB churches, Muslim background believers, same thing. I said, have you heard this song? And I don't mean this against the song or anything, but just an example. Here's the song. Mm-hmm. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You've probably heard that song. Okay. That would never happen in an MBB church or a messianic church. And the reason is this, because me would be the subject, not Jesus. It's a great song. It's a catchy song. And I like that. I'd probably sing it if I hear it. But really, in those churches, Jews have become believers, right. Muslims have become believers. The focus is on Christ. And so it's just a cut above. It's so much more challenging.
Yes. And definitely I guess much that's more the subtle yet really important difference is what is the main focus, right? And our it seems to me our Christianity in America has become so me focused. And perhaps that's what this difficult season is all about, right? Is trying to get our attention and make us uncomfortable in the sense that God wants to help us be more free to focus on Him and bring more freedom. So what can you say to folks in this difficult season? And a lot of people are getting discouraged, like you said, Tom. And so y'all speak to that.
Well, you know, this is a time, I believe, that God is calling us to focus also on others. I think we all have felt that during this strange, crazy time that Jesus is coming back soon. So if He is coming back soon, there are a plethora of people out there that have not even realized that Jesus has come for the first time. And when Jesus returns, if they have not made a decision for Him, we know that they are destined for hell. So God is, I believe, stirring up the body of Christ to say, wake up and get going. Tell people about me. And so in order to keep that fresh, when we do talk to people and share the hope that is within us, we have to have a freshness within ourselves. And you know, Angel, how it is in any relationship to keep it alive and constantly growing and thriving and flourishing, we have to put time and effort into that relationship. So before I can ever share who Jesus is to me, I need to make sure that my relationship is thriving. And how do I do that? You know, the kind of going back to your last question actually is, personally, I can't wait to wake up in the morning. When I get in bed at night, I cannot wait to get up in the morning early when it's still dark and go out and have my time with the Lord, you know, to have my little special drink that I love to drink, my little morning caffeine, and spend time in the pages of scripture, getting to know Jesus deeper. I'm worshiping Him. I love worship songs, you know, going into worship and just taking me away from life here on earth to just focusing on being with Him and then carrying that with me throughout the day. So then when my walk with God is fresh, and as your listeners, when their life is fresh with the Lord, then they've got more to share with people who are discouraged, who are maybe not feeling that freshness with Jesus, or maybe they don't even know Jesus. And so I would say the way we encourage people is first, we've got to be encouraged ourselves. And then we take them to where, you know, Jesus is.
It's so true. That's so true. Angel, if I can just say this, and your privilege to work on Flourish, the program that is beaming into Iran, and Joanne and the wonderful team. You guys have made such an impact. And I was talking to Hormoz Shariat, the president of Iran Alive, who we broadcast with into Iran. And we all know this, that Iran is the fastest growing church per capita in the world. And Hormoz says he believes that the present government in Iran is going to collapse. It's going to fall because less than a third are even Muslim now, consider themselves Muslim in the country. And so he posed this question, and I thought, this is brilliant from the Spirit of God. He said, so what's God waiting for? And he said, he's waiting for the body of Christ to be ready for the harvest. And they're not ready yet. They're not quite ready, but he's getting them ready. Could this be this year of 2020 that we just passed through? Could it be God's wake-up call to get us ready for that one last blast of the gospel that just sweeps through our country, sweeps through the world?
I love that. And that's such great encouragement. And that's what I've sensed in the Spirit also, that it is. And that's part of the reason I'm doing the spiritual fitness series, because it is time for us to get fit, to get real solid in our beliefs and our faith and our walk, our personal walk. And thank you, Joanne, for those practical ways you do that. And I want to say, and maybe y'all can speak to this also, but it has been a strange time for me in the Spirit. I have not connected with God in the same way I've been able to in the past. And there's been a lot of resistance. But what I'm learning is it doesn't matter how I feel necessarily. The truth is the truth. And so if I go to the Word and I spend time in the Word, it's transforming me. And I may not even see that until like down the road, but it is happening. But I love that God is working with me in a different way, because I believe he's building different muscles than I've had before. So I want to encourage people that way. Is there anything else? Because you guys are like some of the world's best encouragers I know. Any other words of encouragement for people to press in to their faith and be excited about what God is doing?
Yeah,
right,
Angel,
now.
First of all, I will say I love what you just said. I've been in seasons like that as well, where it feels like I'm dry and shriveling up, so to speak. And I go to God's Word, and I just don't feel like I'm getting any fresh water, so to speak. So I feel like I'm in the old wineskin, and I'm, you know, kind of thing. But what you said is exactly right. The truth is truth. And when we spend time in God's presence, he is transforming us. But just as there are seasons in the world around us, there are spiritually, there are seasons in our walk with the Lord. And just as sometimes winter feels like it's a very unproductive time, that everything looks dry and dead on the surface and cold and encrusted in ice, spring always comes. And during that winter time is when all of the seeds are doing internal work. And then as soon as the sun comes out and shines and heats up the soil and water gently rains the dirt, those seeds sprout and new life is birthed. And so that's what happens, I think, during some of our dry seasons, is God is doing a lot of internal work. And we may not, like you said, results of it until we look back on that time or in the future. And the second thing I would say is we need each other. God has called us to spur one another on. He's called us to bear one another's burdens. He's called us to encourage one another while the day is still light. And so this has been a season of isolation and separation, so to speak. We've been quarantined. We've been masked. We're not told not to touch people. So we've had this forced kind of separation. But God tells us that we need each other. And so whether it's through a Zoom phone call, prayer texting, a phone call, getting together, whatever, we need to rely on each other. God has created us for community within the body of Christ and within his presence. So I would say if someone is feeling discouraged, maybe don't wait for someone to call you. Be the initiator. Call someone else. Call a trusted friend. Call a mentor and say, man, I just need some, you know, fellowship today. Can we just talk or worship together? Something, but we need each other. We cannot forget that's important part of our recipe.
And if I can just add a little bit to that too, Joanna, I think sometimes we got to shake up our routine. I mean, there's a way I study the Bible and pray and do memorize scripture and share the gospel. But sometimes God calls us to get out of that Sahara desert. And the way you're going to get out of that desert is to shake it up and experience him in a new way. And so, a couple years ago, a friend of mine told me in Israel that he sent out a small Bible text each morning to his friends. And he said, the reason I send that is it keeps me in the Word every day. And then secondly, anyone mm-hmm. that reads this text that is one of my guy friends has the open door permission to just say, hey, that was a great text, Todd. Too bad it's not operating in your life, you know, and really challenge them. And so
right.
I started to do that. And now we have guys and girls. But for me, not that I wouldn't be doing that if I didn't have, you know, the responsibility of doing that. It just was better and richer. It's just something that God showed me to do. And I think that sometimes we just really need everything shaken up, you know, our routines, make mm-hmm. sure we don't fall into kind of dead works and we're just slugging it out, but we're not making progress spiritually. If we're not excited about Jesus, if we're not thrilled about the times we live in, if we don't feel utterly privileged mm-hmm. as the body of Christ to live in these dark days and make a difference, we need to ask ourselves why.
Yeah.
And we really need to pursue that and see what God wants to show us.
Good. That's so good. And, you know, he's been using Isaiah 42:16 in my life and other people that I've talked to, but it's about leading us in ways we do not know. It says he will do it.
Right.
It's on his shoulders. So what I hear you guys saying is don't resist if God is trying to work with us in a new way or opening new doors or things out of our comfort zone, because he's asking us to step in and he's going to equip us as we step, and we're alive. So we have a purpose in the body of Christ, because a lot of people are feeling purposeless, but that is such a lie.
Absolutely.
Right?
That is a lie. And Satan would love for us to feel alone, would love to make us feel that we're unworthy or that we're unsuccessful even in our walk with the Lord or sharing Jesus with others. But that is not who God has called us to be. He has called us to represent him. You know, I love what scripture, he calls us an ambassador. And boy, an ambassador is a high calling. It's a high role. And, you know, to be an ambassador, you're given a lot of things. You're given access to places that no one else has access to. You've been given a voice that others listen to, and you've been given a message that you're to share. And that's exactly what God has given every one of us as his sons and daughters. And so if we would look at our identity in Christ and as to who we are, instead of looking at where we feel what we don't have or, you know, how we're not equipped. But if we look at who God has made us, then we can have the confidence to go forth in that holy boldness. And these are exciting days. People, as you said, people are looking for hope. People are looking for answers. And as followers of Jesus, we're the only one that has truth. So what a perfect time to be able to share that with people that are discouraged and looking for more.
That's so good. And we are being called to a holy boldness, because the culture right now wants to tell us we're wrong or to be quiet and to not speak up. Just as we kind of start landing the plane, so to speak, what can somebody do today, right now, if they want to make an impact for God? What are some simple steps that they could take?
You know, I think, Angel, what activates everything in our life is prayer. So when people start praying, like someone got in touch with us the other day, we read Women Who Risk, we're over the top. We think we want to be missionaries in the Middle East. What do we do? And you know what the answer is to that? And all questions similar to that? Start praying. Because God moves, get in the word, start praying. God, what do you have for me? Because if he is calling that family to do that, he's going to make that, he's going to light it up so they can see that path. James 1 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him pray and ask God. But when you pray, you got to believe he's going to give it to you, because he doesn't give anything to those that are double-minded. Kind of believe in one day, not believe in the next day. And so I think prayer just activates everything. When people start to pray, God, I need your wisdom. What am I supposed to do? We had someone on our team, Angel, that we love dearly, and she had a heart for Muslims, a heart for Jews. But one day she just came to us and said, I think God is leading me in a different direction. And we said, really, tell us about it. And it was to work with homeless in Dallas. And I think, like, just like you get this age where people say, you go and work with Muslims? Are you kidding? I wouldn't know what to do. We look at homeless and feel stumped. How would we, I don't even know where to start with them. But she did. and an effective ministry. We're doing a podcast with her coming up, Elizabeth Jordan. She and her team put 25 families in hotels over the freeze in Dallas, the big Texas storm. And just did it.
Wow.
And just contacted the ministry. Hey, can we do this? Yes. Money came in. They did it. Making a difference, sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so really prayer activates everything.
Yeah. You know, in addition to that, Angel, and prayer, of course, is the key. You know, as E.M. Bounds says, I love this quote, is prayer is the thin vein that moves the hand of God. It's a beautiful quote. But in addition to that, God has given every single one of us a platform. We all have, you know, a sphere of influence in our life, whether it's in your workplace or in your family or whatever that platform is. So we need to take our platforms and use them for the kingdom of God. You know, one of the things that we love about, you know, the women that we write about in Women Who Risk is that they are willing to risk. And as you were just saying, our world is getting increasingly darker. And so God is looking for men and women who are willing to risk their lives for Jesus. And sometimes that risking isn't going out where you're almost going to get killed like some of the people in the Middle East. Sometimes that living a life of risk means being willing to tell people about Jesus, using the platform that he's given us to share about Christ. And so I think that's just another very easy, simple way to stop and pray and say, okay, God, what is my platform? What is the field of ministry you've given me? It may not be a Christian thing. Mm-hmm. It may be in the workplace, but because you're a follower of Christ, that is your field of ministry. So God, in that, how can you use me? So, God has given us so much to do as the days are getting shorter. Not only are they getting darker, they're getting shorter. We know Jesus is coming back soon. In fact, I was just talking to a friend the other day, and you know what she said to me? And this really shook me up and made me stop and think. Not that we have a big savings account, but what she said to me, she wanted to invest in some ministry that we're doing in Pakistan. And then she said, you know, when Jesus comes back, I don't want there to be any money in my savings account. Money that could be used to save people. You know, money that could be used to further the ministry. I want our savings account to be empty because it's being spent on, you know, eternal endeavors.
Wow.
And that just, isn't that amazing? I thought, whoa, okay. I've always thought I don't want to be found with my oil lamp empty and wick untrimmed, but I've never thought about saying, Lord, when you come back, I want our savings account to be empty, but I want that now, Angel. I want to use all that God has entrusted us with, whether it's our gifts and talents, our personalities, our jobs, our fields of ministry, or our savings account. Want it all to be used for the kingdom.
Right. That's right.
So that's another form of risk right there. Because especially being married to a financial advisor, I can say I learned a lot about the value of savings. So risk giving it all away or to risk, you know, giving more than you're comfortable giving away is one of the risks. And so it's not just having to risk your life. It may be risking your ego, risking your pride, risking your reputation so you can speak out in truth. And I think those are the kind of things right now in our American church, we have the challenge of more of those kind of risks because we're not likely to have to lose our life right now.
You know, another thing, a verse that's just popped out to me lately, what I've been doing in my devotions, as Tom said, wanting to shift things and shake them up a little bit. I'm reading through all four gospels and kind of the same chapter in each gospel. So it's been kind of a fun way to be studying God's word. But, you know, it was right after Jesus had been baptized by John, and then Jesus and his disciples are baptizing over here, and John and his disciples are baptizing over there. And then one of John's disciples comes and says, John, more of the people are going to Jesus to be baptized. They're not coming to us. And he answers in such a beautiful way. He said, you know, whatever ministry God has given us, it comes from heaven. You know, we cannot produce more than what he's given us, number one. And then number two, he goes on to say, this is exactly what I want. I want to become less and Jesus becomes more. You know, I must decrease, but he must increase. And so in these, you know, crazy days that we're living in right now, that's a great perspective. No matter what we're doing or how we're doing it, we want to decrease as Jesus increases.
That's so good. Any last words of wisdom? Y'all are just filling us up, but anything else on your heart before we close up?
Wow. Well, thank you, Angel. This has been delightful. We're just having a cup of coffee with Angel.
It's so much fun. I love it. And we can talk and talk and talk. I know we can.
I know we want to. Well, we want to have you on our podcast.
Right.
I mean, we want to. Yes. So here's what I would say. I would say God's called us to a radical faith. Today we say this at our ministry, extreme, unwavering, high risk, because every soul matters. And so what is he calling us to? Here's a couple of things. I think number one, we call it FaceTime praying, getting on our face and praying because we're so desperate for God to move. It's like what Hezekiah did when the Israelites were surrounded by the Assyrians and they were going to attack. He went to the temple, laid out the threatening letter from Hezekiah, from Sennacherib, and just got on his face and just laid it out like, Lord, do you see this? What can you do? And he got down and he got on his face. When we're desperate enough to get on our face, God moves. Secondly, when we were just talking about giving and we weren't planning to do that, but people that are super blessed and super effective believe that they're just a funnel for what God gives them. And they believe in stunning generosity, stunning, giving way more than they ever thought they would. And then I think the third thing would be a risky faith where you're willing to take chances. You're willing to risk it all. And that's not doing a political post on Facebook.
Right.
It's about going and talking to someone about Jesus. It's about maybe going to a foreign country, doing something where you're really saying, Lord, I just want to lay it on the line for you. I want to make a difference. And I don't want life in Christ to just be about me.
Right.
And I'm just getting by. I want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think it is. FaceTime praying, stunning generosity, and risky faith.
That's a good one. Wow. Wow. Well, I am so grateful for you guys in the ministry. I am hanging on your coattails and so blessed by that. And thank you for inspiring people today. And I hope they go out and get that book, order the book, your other books, Tom, are just as inspiring in a different way. But also just talking about what God is doing. I would say to people, if they need encouragement that God is moving in our midst, then this is one of the books to read to bring new life to faith and maybe new eyes to what's going on in the world. So thank you for who you are and your faithfulness in ministry. And do you guys mind closing us up in prayer?
Oh, we would love to. And Angel, thank you.
Yes.
You are always our greatest cheerleader and encourager.
Gosh.
We
yes.
love you and the work that God's called you to as well. But yes, we would love to close. Jesus, we are here because we love you. And you are looking for men and women who will live a life of risk for you, who will walk out in that holy boldness that reflects you. And Jesus, that we would be stunning in our giving, that we would be live life of risk because we love you so much. You have risked so much for us, Jesus. And so all we can do is live our lives to honor and glorify you. And so may all of us do that, Father. May we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it truly is the power unto salvation. And may we, when we feel discouraged, reach out to others so that we can spur one another on. And Jesus, may you keep our time with you fresh and alive. May we soak in your word. May we spend time on our faces in prayer. May we lift our hands high in worship. So Jesus, we recognize again, it is all about you. And we want to decrease as you increase in our lives. That is our prayer. We all want to be spiritually fit. When you come back, we want to be found faithful, Jesus. Or when you take us home, we want to hear those beautiful words of well done, good and faithful servant. So Father, may we all live fully, completely, 100% sold out for you. Thank you for Angel. Thank you for her friends that are listening and how you are working in their lives. We worship you, Jesus, because you alone are worthy. And we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. Well, I know you're as inspired as I am by Tom and Joanne. And we need to plug into what God is doing around the world to keep our
faith fresh. So that's part of how we can stay spiritually fit. But I pray that you take this whole series and, of course, other things that God is giving you to really work on the muscles of faith. We need to be spiritually fit in our day and time. We are living through some difficult times, but in the Lord, some amazing times. And I think we're going to see him work more and more as the days go forward. So please take time personally with God in his word. Let him hone your muscles of belief and trust, identity, faith, obedience, prayer, and just finishing strong so we can meet him face to face and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And as we close up today, I just want to give you a little bit of heads up about where we're going. I'm going to have some fun interviews to finish out March. I'm going to take a little bit of time off at the beginning of April, just for Easter, and have some time to reflect with the Lord and practice what I'm preaching. And then April 15th is the year anniversary of Have You Not Heard? I cannot believe. And I want to thank you guys that have faithfully been following and just encouraging me to keep going, and that it is helping and making a difference. And that is the prayer for Have You Not Heard, that it would reach people, it would change hearts and minds, and it would ignite and inspire us to follow Christ, but also to bring hope and healing to those that are hurting. So thank you for helping spread the word by rating it, reviewing it, and sending it to your friends. So I look forward to talking to you next week. And until then, this is Angel H. Davis signing off, and God bless.